Israel has said it hopes to withdraw the last of its soldiers from Lebanon by the end of the week, turning control of the last captured areas over to international forces and the Lebanese army. But a legacy of Israel's military offensive against Hezbollah will remain on the ground, literally, in the form of an estimated 1 million unexploded bomblets dispersed by cluster bombs. UN officials say the munitions wound or kill 3 people a day.
Washington Post reporter Anthony Shadid has been traveling through southern Lebanon. He joins us from Beirut. Anthony, explain for us, if you could, what these bomblets look like.
You know, they're actually remarkably small. They're probably the size of a cell phone, maybe a little bit wider. And they have a white ribbon that comes off the end of them that are used to help their descent. And their color is usually a greenish-brown.
Now, as I understand it, it was not illegal for Israel to use cluster bombs.
Right. Cluster bombs themselves are not banned under international agreements. What is banned is the indiscriminate use of weapons in civilian areas. If they are hidden in villages, hidden in civilian areas, some people would argue that these bombs themselves become an indiscriminate weapon, and therefore they would be banned under certain international agreements.
What is the UN in southern Lebanon saying about the numbers of these bomblets that they're seeing and what kind of progress they're making in defusing them?
You know, when you talk to UN officials, I think most often they're stunned by the scope of the problem, and not just the scope of the problem itself, but the way that the problem is growing. Early on, the estimate was there were hundreds of thousands of these bomblets. Now they're talking about as many as a million and perhaps even more than a million.
And you report that a lot of these cluster bombs seem to have been dropped in the very last days of this war.
You know, it's not too strong of a word, I think, to use, like, dumbfounded when you ask UN officials about what happened and what the situation is on the ground with these cluster bombs right now. Their understanding and their estimate is that as many as 90% of these cluster bombs were fired in the last 72 hours of the conflict, the last 3 days of the conflict. You know, why that's the case, it's still unclear, and Israeli officials have been somewhat tight-lipped on what the strategy was and what their sense of the use of the cluster bombs was. But it isn't really clear at this point why such an intensity of these cluster bombs in the last days of the conflict, and also the repeated hitting of targets. The head of the UND mining program, the way he put it to me, was that it was the equivalent of shooting a dead body 20 times.
You said Israeli officials have been pretty tight-lipped. What have they had to say to these sorts of criticisms?
Israeli officials have made the point that cluster bombs are not banned under international law, which is correct. The one statement that they've used several times about the use of the cluster bombs, that they were fired within the parameters of international agreement. Now, some people would contest that, obviously, given the situation on the ground in southern Lebanon, but that's pretty much what the Israeli military has said at this point.
When you travel around villages in the south, how much of an effect are these bomblets, these cluster bombs, having on the people who've gone back to the villages in the south?
You know, it's striking the degree, I think, of paralysis that you find in parts of southern Lebanon. I was in one village called Deir Anun. It's not a very big village, and in one field right outside of the village, residents had collected more than 1,000 bomblets, and they had just put them in boxes and dug 4 craters and left them there for UND miners to eventually destroy. You're dealing with the tobacco harvest right now, which is important to southern Lebanon. Olive harvest is coming up. It's a very agricultural area. I think more than half of residents down there rely on agriculture for their income. So what I think you're seeing is a certain paralysis of life down there, as farmers aren't able to go, they're too afraid to go into their fields. Workers that they used to rely on to pick olives, for instance, or to harvest the tobacco, are reluctant as well to go in. One family I talked to said that they hadn't left their house. They were worried about walking outside in the yard and walking across one of these bomblets, which can kill up to, I think, 20 yards, 25 yards. So it is striking that, you know, the war has ended. There is a ceasefire, but I think in the sense of the cluster bombs and the implications for this return of normalcy to life, you are seeing it slow down pretty dramatically because of this fear out there of coming across something that could kill you.
You were talking about villagers who had collected a lot of these and put them aside. How do they do that without them detonating?
Well, it's not something for the faint of heart. I mean, that's for sure. There is a certain way by pushing a pin in, but I guess if they're handled gingerly enough, then they don't explode. But, I mean, obviously, the miners think it's kind of crazy for someone untrained to be picking these up. The going rate, what I heard from residents down there in southern Lebanon, is that some landowners are paying $1 or $2 for each bomblet that's recovered. So it does become pretty lucrative in some ways, and I think for an area that's already in bad shape and that's not reviving all that quickly, it becomes a very lucrative task for certain people who are willing to take the risk.
Anthony Shadid of The Washington Post speaking with us from Beirut. Anthony, thanks very much.
My pleasure.